It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 48. We're going to read the chapter today, so please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 48. We're going to begin reading there. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 48 and begin to read with me today. Genesis chapter 48, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob, said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. I will make thee a multitude of people. I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon. They shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. As for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the land of Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons, and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, thou hast showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow unto a multitude in the midst of the earth. When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn, but thy right hand upon his head. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Let's begin with prayer after we've read the 48th chapter. Father, we thank you today that we can come together and enjoy this study. I just ask that you'll show us ever so clearly and carefully each and every word, each and every verse, how it applies to our hearts, how it applies to me today, that I may please you and walk with you, dear Lord, please, that you will guide and lead us. I ask, dear Father, that you will touch every heart, showing them that they are lost and dying in their sin, showing them that they need a Savior, and that Savior is no other than you, Lord Jesus. You are our Savior, our only Savior, so please, please, dear Lord, that you will show everyone that's listening the way of salvation. Show them to their sin and show them to your Son, the Lord Jesus, to their Savior. And I ask that not only do you show them, because you are faithful to do that, but they need to be faithful to accept it. They need to say, Yes, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. Please, Lord Jesus, come in and forgive me of my sins. Please, Lord Jesus. I ask that they would come in such a way that they would begin a wonderful relationship with you. It's a personal relationship. It's not something that you just kind of know about. It's not something that you're depending on in any other way, Lord. It's just strictly a wonderful relationship. You need to come by faith. And I ask that that happen today. And I ask, Father, that those that are saved will grow today closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's a wonderful study as we find ourselves coming very close to the end of this chapter, end of this book. If you are familiar with God's Word, you'll realize that there are 50 chapters. We're at chapter 48 as we wind down this wonderful study that we've had for months on the book of Genesis. And I hope that you have enjoyed it, and we're going to continue, as always, studying the Word of God and enjoying the Word of God. We continue with this man named Joseph, talking about him and his family. We know that Joseph had two sons, and those two sons were Ephraim and Manasseh. And this book, the chapter of 48, is talking about Ephraim and Manasseh. We know that Jacob, or Israel, if we would call him that, which is true and right, we'll find that Israel is becoming very elderly, and his health isn't very good. He has been very sad and sickly most of his life because of it's been his heart, because he's been so saddened by losing Joseph first and then thinking he was going to lose Benjamin. And it just is so sad to watch a man of faith as Jacob, as Israel is, and yet we watch him live a very miserable life. Most of his life was miserable. And so we need to see that we have a heart of joy and that we enjoy the things of God. And when things around us seem like that they're giving us all kinds of trouble and problems, we need to be able to turn the other way and look into an everlasting God, look into the Lord Jesus Christ as he has saved us, and know that we've been redeemed by his precious blood, know that he has set us free from our sin. We have so much to be thankful for. And so don't let us get focused upon the things of this life and of this world as much as we do, and we sure do it often. Cain, We've found that they have come from Canaan, and they have found their way down into Egypt. The past chapter, Jacob asks that I be not buried in Egypt. Thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. He said, I will do as thou hast said. He wanted to be buried out of the land of Egypt. He knew that it wasn't going to be long that the people, the nation of Israel, would find their way back home. He knew it wasn't going to be long. Well, it was a number of years. It wasn't just 10 or 20. It was, you know, in the hundreds. From the time that Abraham was first in Egypt until they left, we're into the 400s. It's a long time. But Jacob knew they would return, and he wanted to be buried there. And so we begin now with Manasseh and Ephraim, which is Joseph's two sons that were born in the land of Egypt. We know that Jacob had never knew them or saw them at all. And we begin now as we look at verse 2, and one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. He wasn't well at all, but he turned and sat upon the edge of his bed. And let's listen to see what takes place here. Remember that Joseph is the most loved. Jacob, Israel, loved Joseph. And Jacob said unto Joseph, verse 3, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. We're seeing that Jacob, in his old age, is becoming a very wise, very spiritual man. And we're going to see a couple things that's taken place in this chapter that proves that very fact. He lived a faithless life much of his life, but he did continue to grow. And you know, Hebrews tells us that by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And you know, as this man, Jacob, as Israel, continues to grow in years, we find him also spiritually growing. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 tells us to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jacob did this, and so should we. We should be growing day after day, month after month, year after year. It's not something that just, you know, some believe that you're filled with the Spirit and, oh, you possess certain qualities and certain abilities. Being a believer in Jesus Christ, being a Christian, is a lifetime, a lifelong adventure. It begins with a new birth, being born again, coming by faith, as we said with the beginning prayer, that we must be born again. We must trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. It begins there. That can be when you're a very young person, or that can be when you're a very old person, but that's where it begins, with a new birth. You need to be born again. You need to be born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I hope that you have trusted and come by faith to Jesus today and have accepted that free gift that He offered upon Calvary when He died upon that cross for you and for me. What a wonderful gift He has given us. Please do not reject it or ignore it. Your life begins the day that you're born again. And I hope that you are born again. And so as we begin to watch this man, Joseph, being blessed of Jacob, and being saying these words, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply. I will make thee a multitude of people. I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Joseph was receiving the blessing through his sons from Jacob, from Israel. And again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, we are told to grow in grace. Jacob did. Jacob did. And I hope that we are. You know, I've heard too often I've heard that, well, I am getting old and it's time for somebody else to come in and take care of things because I'm just too old. I just can't do it anymore. Well, some of the physical things, maybe you can't. But you should be a very wise spiritual man, a very wise spiritual woman, that you should be able to come and be a blessing unto the younger. Old man, you should be a blessing to the young man. Old woman, you should be a blessing to the young women. Today, people take offense when I say, you old man or you old woman. Oh, that should be a privilege to have such a statement, because it should stand for knowledge and wisdom. It should stand for maturity and one that loves the Lord and has much to teach the young. And so when we look at those people, I hope that you know folks that are teaching you and showing you the ways of God, teaching you the Word of God. If the Lord tarries, if the Lord allows me to live through into later years, I hope that I can continue to be a teacher of the Word of God. I hope that folks will continue to listen as I proclaim the Word of God. I would love to be in my 80s or 90s and have people to sit down and listen to God's Word, not because I'm speaking it in wisdom and with some fluent voice or some powerful voice that I have. Not at all. It is the Word of God. And we need to speak it and speak it clearly. And we should speak it as a mature, as a faithful one, full of faith. And we find Jacob to be there. And again, look at the promise that was given unto Jacob. Verse 4, said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. I will make of thee a multitude of people. I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. What a promise. Promise to be a nation when it's just a handful of people. A nation, a mighty nation, the Scripture's talking about here. And Jacob says, behold, this is what God says, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply. We have the promise of the nation. We also have the promise of the land. And I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And we know that that land is the land of Canaan. It's the only land in all the world that has ever been given to a people. There is no other people that truly can say, I own this land. Israel, the Jews, own what we call the land of Canaan. And please that you would notice that from the Jordan River and even on the other side of the Jordan River, but from the Jordan River all the way to the Great Sea, all the way through that land is all to be the nation of Israel. It's theirs. God gave it to them. Now, there may be other people right now have a title to the land, but they don't own it. Because, you see, God's the only one that can give it because He's the only one that owns it. We don't own any land. You don't own your house. If you farm, you don't own your farm ground. God owns it. He's just allowed you to rent it, to use it. And you better understand that that's what you have. That you're the tenant. You're not the owner. God's the owner. But there is one land that was given, and that was to the land of Israel. And here they're promised, and so they're not promised land down in Egypt. They're promised land in Canaan. That's where the promise came from. That's where the promise was at. And there'll be a time that this family of 12 sons will return back and take their rightful place. And we know, of course, as we go to the end of Genesis and on into Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. See, we have to get all the way to Joshua because Joshua is actually the one that will come across and cross the Jordan River and come into the land of Canaan. Takes the city of Jericho first. And so look forward to that study, because unless the Lord directs otherwise, I believe that we're going to finish Genesis and going right into Exodus. Oh, you're going to enjoy that study. I hope that you've enjoyed Genesis, but I know that you will also enjoy the study in Exodus. I love teaching the Word of God. Please that you listen and listen carefully. This blessing, this promise, and we're going to watch it be fulfilled as we go through into Exodus here, and enjoy that. I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. The scripture's telling us there the promise that God has given unto this man named Jacob, unto Israel. And again, it's the only land that's been promised to anybody. Nobody else has such a right, and everybody seems to lay claim to it. It's not through Ishmael. Abraham, Ishmael, and that direction doesn't go that way. It's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It doesn't go from Abraham to Isaac to Esau. That's Edom down below. It goes Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Don't miss that. And that's where the birth of the 12 sons and the division and the possession of the land and all is going to come about. Hope that you look forward to that study. I sure do. Now, we found, so we have the nation, and we have the land, and we have the everlasting, the blessing that's coming with that. And so as we look at this now, we begin to see something that's a little bit different. Joseph, because of how God used him, and the way Jacob is beginning in his growth, in being full of faith, he is beginning to see how God worked this out. Jacob, instead of trusting in the Lord all this time, he didn't. Again, he began to grow, and as he began to grow, that was fine. But it took so long for Jacob to realize that the God was in control here, even though Joseph was gone. And through Joseph's life, as he was sold into slavery and all those things, who would ever dream that Joseph would find his way to be commander of the nation of Egypt under only Pharaoh himself? Who ever dreamed that that could take place? God knew what was going on, and now that Jacob is in the land of Egypt and has met Joseph once again and recognizes who he is and what he is and what he possesses, now all of a sudden Jacob is recognizing what's going on. He's recognizing God's hand here, and that strengthens our faith. When we begin to recognize God's hand, it strengthens us. And I hope that you have been strengthened through the study as we watch God work. I hope that you can see that. But something's going to happen here because of Joseph's faithfulness to God, and now Jacob's being so full of faith and a believer, a strong believer now, and walking by faith and trusting in God, we're going to see something happen here. This is God's plan. This wasn't just Jacob and Joseph getting together here and doing something. It wasn't that at all. This is God's plan. But look what happens. Now the two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, verse 5, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Now it's something, because Joseph here had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, in the land of Egypt. Jacob had no idea of these sons. He didn't even know Joseph was alive. And so as all this has taken place, why, we find now that Jacob is making a statement that he seems like he's bringing Ephraim and Manasseh in to equal Simeon, Reuben, and Zebulun, Nephtali, and the rest of the family. And so, And thy issue, look at verse 6, thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And so for me, when I came to Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem. And Israel behold Joseph's sons, beheld Joseph's sons, and said, who are these? Now watch what's going to happen here. He said, who are these? And Joseph said unto him, his father, they are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Look what's about to take place here. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see, and he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. Israel was so excited to watch the hand of God. He thought Joseph was dead. He thought he would never see him, let alone that Joseph had an offspring, that he had family. Look what happens when you trust in God. God brought family into Joseph's life. God brought Jacob down into Egypt to meet Joseph and to meet his offspring. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh to his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head. Now, isn't that backwards? Let's look. And Manasseh to his left hand towards Israel's right. But Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it up on Ephraim's head, who was the younger. And his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding hands wittingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn, and he blessed, Jacob blessed Joseph, and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw his father laid his right hand upon the hand of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn, put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite, with my sword and with my bow. Now, you know, as we're looking at this and coming, running out of time as always, we need to see something here. God had a plan. Joseph was a very smart man, smart in faith, smart in knowledge and wisdom of God. He knew that it was not going to be the natural. It was going to be God's plan. You see, it's not by natural birth that you become a child of God. You must be born again. God chooses. You must be born again. Please come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved. Ephraim and Manasseh got a double blessing. We'll talk about that when we begin next time. My dear friend, I hope you know Jesus. But the question always comes, what are you going to do about Jesus?